Welcome to Comment. I'm Phil Rees. This is Press TV's live show that gives you the chance to have your say on what's happening in the world. In the next 50 minutes, I want to talk to you. George Galloway can't be here tonight, unfortunately, but you and I can still have the great conversation. As George says, it's only a debate if you join in. If you disagree with me, all the better. I'm in London, but wherever you are, we want to hear from you. And we'll call you back, so don't worry about those phone bills. Join me for the great debate. Call on 44208-601-4555. You can also SMS on 4478-00-8066. Or if you prefer to send an email, send it to comment@presstv.co.uk. So pick up the phone, send an email. There is plenty to talk about. Well, after Friday prayers tomorrow, there'll be protests in several Arab countries. In Yemen, the stakes are rising as a rebel army faction fights with forces loyal to the aging and fading tyrant, Ali Abdullah Saleh. Is there a danger of civil war? We need your views. And what about Bahrain? President Obama justified the attacks on Libya by saying innocent people were targeted for killing, hospitals and ambulances were attacked, journalists were arrested. Now that the same things are happening in Bahrain, Obama just isn't saying anything. Press TV's Johnny Miller has been expelled from Bahrain, and this week a reporter from CNN was kicked out after a machine gun was held to her head for 30 minutes amidst what she described as an unfolding human rights catastrophe. Meanwhile, the BBC's main current affairs programme, Panorama, ignored uprisings in the Arabian Peninsula and instead reported on events following the Iranian presidential election 2 years ago and accused Press TV of peddling propaganda. What was that all about? Elsewhere, Egypt's former President Mubarak and his two sons have been arrested and face an investigation into their abuse of power, should they be brought to book. And in France, under a law introduced this week, any Muslim woman wearing a full face veil is now banned from all public places, including walking down the street, taking a train, sitting at a cafe, or collecting her kids from school. Mad or what? Why does a woman's head covering spark so much passion in the West? I should say now that any views that I express over the next 50 minutes are my own and not those of Press TV. The show is not scripted, but broadcast live, and it's all about your thoughts and your comments. So call now. There's a great deal to talk about. Now, as you can see, I'm not George Galloway, but I've been a journalist for 30 years, much of that at the BBC. And obviously, Press TV believe that, in fact, the British government is trying to silence them, and in fact, that's been supported by WikiLeaks. The Foreign Office told the US ambassador here that they're looking, exploring ways to limit the operations of Press TV in London. And obviously, that's a concern, and some people are saying that the BBC is playing a role, especially that Panorama program, to try to help the government achieve its goal. Well, I think we have our first caller now, and it's Hamid from France. How are you, Hamid? Where are you calling from in France, my friend?
Yes, good evening, Mr. Rees. I'm calling from Evian, not too far from Geneva, where I work in Geneva.
It's a beautiful area. I know it very well.
Yes, but the environment of international community, so-called international community, it's different. What we hear, it's almost feeling like there is nothing going on around in this world, especially in Bahrain, and we hardly hear any issue of Bahrain, as you just mentioned. There is a blackout, there is an absolute blackout in Western European media, as far as I can tell you, especially France. We have five official channels, none of them. They have completely blocked and locked, and almost every night in the Franco-German or the Franco-Allemand TV station, we have the program which shows the Nazis movies and old German movies, how Nazis treated Jews, and but nothing on Bahrain, nothing, hardly anything on Yemen, and of course Libya is the center of the action. Now, this is not new, and I'm sure you agree that there is an hypocrisy and double standard. Now, what I brought up last time with Mr. Galloway, and somehow he didn't like it, but I thought that these most revolutions are being hijacked or already hijacked. Mr. Galloway didn't like the idea, say this is pessimism. I would like to ask your opinion, and sincerely I want to know what you think. knowing what is going on in Tunisia, in Egypt, military power is in control of everything. In Bahrain, they sent Saudi forces there, and they're suppressing the movement. Mm-hmm. And in Yemen, they're doing the same thing. So don't you think that really they somehow smartly, intelligently hijacked these movements?
Well, Hamid, thank you for that call. I would say certainly that's true. And first of all, President Sarkozy last week called up King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa, the king of Bahrain, congratulating him on his efforts to create stability in his kingdom. But when you go more broadly about the revolutions, yes, I think there's a crucial moment that we're at. Because as we know, in both Tunisia and in Egypt, it's the military that controls and defines what democracy will emerge there. And both of those militaries are very close to the United States. Their leaders have all been trained there. And in fact, the officer corps of the Egyptian military was in the Pentagon when all the demonstrations started. So that tells you enough about that. Next, I think we've got a caller coming in from Ireland, coming from all over the world today. Ahmed, what have you got to tell us, my friend?
Hello.
Hello, Ahmed. It's Phil Rees here on comment. Please, what have you got to say?
How are you? Good evening. Hello.
Hello, Ahmed. Good evening to you. Please, go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Yeah, just my point is this. I just want to comment about the crisis going on in Libya. The Western nation, they came together saying that they want to remove Colonel Gaddafi. While there is a lot of problem going on in the Islamic world, like the Yemeni, why are they not going to Yemeni? They say they want to impose the no-fly zone in Libya, and they came together and passed the resolution 1973. I just want to ask, why is the international community not imposing no-fly zone in the Gaza?
Why do you think, then? What do you think, Ahmed?
Yeah, there is a lot of injustice going on, and the international community, especially the leading nations like the United, the U.S., the U.K., they just have a blind eye, while they know that the Israeli have occupied the Palestinian land for a long time.
If you're talking about double standards, I think that has been part of Western foreign policy in the time that I can remember reporting on it. And of course, there are interesting things about going into Libya. I wonder whether it's sort of stopped the momentum of the reform movement that was maybe going out of control after what happened in Egypt, that now it's given the West a role again. And of course, it's taken off the headlines what's been going on in Bahrain and Yemen, because once you get Western forces involved, all the news stations cover that first.
Hello, can I continue?
No. Okay. Listen, Ahmed, thank you for that. I hope you seem to agree with what I've said. So we'll move on. I think we've got another caller coming in now, and that's Marwan from Greece. Wow, we are getting a truly international flavor tonight. Marwan, good evening, my friend.
Good evening. How are you?
Hello. What's your question, sir?
Yeah, I'm just want to talk about the situation in Libya. I think that the West has double standards. The West reaction towards the crisis in Libya is based on their economic interest, oil, asylum seekers, natural resources, etc. The West failed to support other revolutions against dictatorship in the Arab world. They failed to support the Egypt revolution. They failed to support Tunisia revolution. They failed to support Bahrain revolution, Yemen, and Syria as well. It's also the West is supporting Israel. They failed to protect civilians in Gaza Strip during the Israeli offenses. They never asked for no-fly zones over Gaza. They are just...
But Marwan, you know, even a broken clock tells the right time twice in a day. I mean, do you think that maybe the West should not have intervened at all, because it did look as if there might have been a massacre had they not?
Actually, the West had to interfere because they wanted to show the Arab world another face, a good face, They wanted the Arab world to think that the West is supporting the revolutions, but I believe their interference in Libya was based on their interest only. And I think the rebels in Libya should understand this very well. They should not trust the West. Currently, they have a common interest with the West. That's good for them. But in the future, they must be aware of this.
Yeah, interesting things are going to happen. Thank you for that, Marwan. I think we've got another caller now. Tony from nearby, from in London. What's your question, sir?
Hello.
Hello, Tony. Please, go ahead.
Yes, Tony. Hi, how are you? All right?
Very well, thanks, mate. And yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Just enjoying the show as usual.
Well, thank you for that.
Right, now, I'm going to be as quick as I can. Here again, we see all the hypocrisy. Now, the Zionist lobby of America. You see, the Zionists, they... Now, here again, I must make this clear. I'm not anti-Jew. I admire the Jew for what the Jewish people. They've given a lot towards science, the arts, you name it. But what these Zionists have done, they've literally robbed the good Jewish people of their name. Jewish people have come to respect and love over the years. Now, you can't have one foot in America, which the Zionists want, and another foot in Israel.
Well, it's very interesting, though. We've heard very little from Israel throughout this period. I mean, it's been quite quiet. And amazingly, there hasn't been an uprising in one area where you would have thought there might be, in the Palestinian areas.
It's a very bad line. What I'm trying to say, Phil, is that you take the Zionists in America. They want one foot in America, and they want another foot in Israel, and they want the American taxpayer to pay for it. How many billions and billions of pounds of dollars is going into Israel, whilst America, the foreclosure of mortgages is on record, a record high?
Sure, Tony. It's not a great line here, so finding it a little bit hard to hear you. But I tell you, I would certainly say to viewers, I mean, the whole question of what Israel does now, all the geopolitics around it has changed, or certainly is likely to change. All those cozy relationships with the Arab dictators, those love-ins with Mubarak at Sharm el-Sheikh, they're going to come to an end. But we're not quite sure how this is going to happen, but I'm sure it's an interesting thing. Now, we've got an email coming up next, so let's have a look what's coming in. Well, it's an email about the BBC program. I must say, I was surprised by the BBC's focus on Iran. It doesn't seem like the most forefront issue right now. Shia people in Bahrain, Britain's love beast in the Middle East, are getting pounded. Also, our country invited its king to our queen's grandson's wedding, which is costing our 9,000 paying students, this is student fees, and 20% VAT paying population, an absolute fortune. Our queen approves Bahrain's king. The BBC is jealous of Press TV. That's from Nigel in London. Well, certainly it seemed a very odd choice, the panorama that was out on Monday. I don't know how many of you saw it, but it was a program that certainly attacked Press TV and went back to the events of 2 years ago. Now, if you look at the royal wedding, and I must say here, I'm afraid I'm a Welshman, I don't have any interest in it whatsoever. But what's also interesting is that about 60% of people in Britain have no real interest in it either. Poll after poll has shown that. Some people particularly dislike it, another lot are disinterested. Yet if you watch the British media, it seems that the whole nation will be watching it. And remember this, the royal family have a political role. They are there to keep the Celtic nations under one umbrella. They're there to reinforce a sense of Britishness, which has often involved colonial ventures. And they're also there to make people believe that some people deserve to be rich and everybody else should know their place in society. So, and then, of course, look at the company they've kept. We've talked about Prince Andrew. We've seen about him traveling the world. And now, of course, sending an invite to the King of Bahrain. Maybe he's the man to have at every best social party for royals. But I would have thought that what's been happening there and his bloodied hands should have prevented that invite going out. I think we're just waiting now for another email is coming in. So let's see who that's from. Sajat from the UK. I hope I pronounced your name right. Once again, my commendations to the staff of Press TV for its excellent coverage of the situation in Bahrain, Yemen, and Egypt. There is at least one global news network which truly attempts to portray the miseries of the voiceless and the hardships of the oppressed. Very nice comments there. And I think it's certainly true that if you look at a lot of the Western media, while some of it was supportive of events in Egypt, you tend to find that in the end, it acts in the interests of power, because after all, it is controlled by the powerful, either privately in the United States. And, you know, this means really that you've got to be careful when it comes to certain stories and where you can go, where you can't go. And that creates a kind of consensus over which stories are important. So Press TV certainly has a different voice and an alternative one, and certainly one which I think people should watch. I think we've got, is it another email we've got? Or we've got Baba, we've got a phone call coming in now, and this is Baba from London. How are you, Baba? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, actually, fine. Enjoying the contribution of people like yourselves. What have you got to say, sir?
Well, I'm going to say the West, or so-called the United Nations, should be careful. There's so many crises in Africa, yeah? Look at what's happening in Ivory Coast. It took them about 4 or 5 months before they overthrew Gbagbo. Do you know how many lives lost before they took Gbagbo away? Because Ivory Coast are producing, they just produce coffee and cocoa and banana, so they're not interested. There's problem in Guinea-Bissau. There's problem in Gambia, Sierra Leone, Liberia. Look at what happened in Rwanda, because they have no oil, because Libya got oil.
Do you think, though, Baba, can I interrupt you there? Do you think maybe there's an argument sometimes for intervention? I mean, if the UN had gone in and Laurent Gbagbo had been overthrown sooner with an active UN presence, would that be a good thing, or would that just be another cover for colonial interests?
That would be a good thing for saving how many lives that died. Yeah, because they don't produce oil. Look, go to Africa. I'm from Africa. Look, go around Africa and check what is going on, because those countries have no oil. Libya got oil. Everybody know it's in the name of oil.
No, I think you're absolutely right there, Baba. The West does not intervene where it doesn't have interest to fulfill. And that's part of the whole hypocrisy of the United Nations and the Security Council, when they actually claim to be acting on humanitarian for humanitarian reasons, very few people actually believe them time and time again. Their interests, if the humanitarian reasons are there, need to coincide with those. We've got another caller now. I think we've got Israel calling from Nigeria. How are you, Israel?
Hello.
Yes, from whereabouts in Nigeria are you? You in Lagos or Abuja?
I'm from Ebonyi.
Okay.
Have you heard about that name before?
Okay, great. Thanks very much for calling in. What have you got to say, sir?
Yeah, I'm happy to contribute to this program. I want to talk about Yemen and Bahrain. You know, for quite some time now, the international community has been spending so much energy and capital resources only talking about how to fix the problem in Libya. And it now goes to say that what people have been accusing the international community of doing, only going to countries where there is oil, is true now, because it's becoming obvious. And somebody like me, I really pity the people of Yemen and Bahrain. There is a lot of human rights abuses there. For instance, the situation...
Well, they haven't got oil, actually, Israel. I mean, there's no real oil in either country. I mean, of course, huge vested interests of the West, but not oil.
Hello.
Hello. Yes. No. Bahrain is a huge economic center. It's the economic hub of the Middle East. And of course, both countries, Yemen and Bahrain, Britain has had interest there since the 1820s. And in fact, Yemen is there because of its position, its very strategic position and location. But anyway, go ahead, Israel. Carry on.
Okay, yeah, it really beats my imagination why human rights abuses will be occurring in high places in this country and the international community is turning deaf ears to them. For instance, the other day, some teachers were arrested ahead of land strikes just to support protesters. That is a human rights abuse. The other day, some health workers were attacked because they were supporting protesters. Some protesters, the law enforcement agents used poisonous gas on them, and they instructed
Israel.
Hospitals not to
Israel,
them.
Thank you for that. I mean, I think that, you know, the point you're making, and I think it's a very serious one, that Africa has been ignored in so much of the Western media, and in terms of the suffering and hardship there, the number of people who need to die to get on the top of the news agenda is in the order of hundreds, if not thousands, more than if it happened in Europe or the United States. So thank you for that. I don't know if you've got any more callers in. I think we do. We've got Isa. Actually, we've got a call from Libya. Isa, you're in the west of Libya. I assume that's an area that's still under the control of Colonel Gaddafi.
Hello,
Isa. It's Phil Reese here.
Hello.
What have you got to say?
I'm still with you, Mr. Press TV. I want to make a little comment on what is happening in my country.
Please,
you
go
know,
ahead.
What exactly is happening in Africa? I think what we are experiencing now is another form of colonialism. Look at what is happening in Cote d'Ivoire, and look at what is happening in Libya. You know, it's totally different strategy to colonize Africa. You know, this is unacceptable to we Africans. It's an insult to us.
Should the dictators have stayed in power?
Pardon?
Should Gaddafi have stayed in power? Should Gbagbo have stayed in power?
No. This is not the way to, exercise things. You know, what we are experiencing in Libya now is, military invasion on Libya, which is not part of the UN mandate. You understand what I'm saying? And what is happening totally in Africa is just for the sake of the Western interest. Why? Because Libya has the largest oil reserve in Africa. And they are trying to manipulate things so that they can colonize Africa and steal their resources and treat them as not human beings again.
All right, so we're coming to an end. I think we're having a lot of people feeling this, that the war in Libya is sort of showing its colors now after the original Western invention talking about simply a no-fly zone. We'll have one more call before the break, and I think that's John nearby in London again. Hello, John. It's Phil Reese here. What have you got to say?
Good night, Phil. No, Mr. Reese.
Me Phil.
I have 2 points.
Okay.
One is concerning these leaders in the Middle East, all these so-called Muslim leaders that call themselves Muslims. As far as I'm concerned, they are not Muslims. They don't even know the book. I urge them to read chapter 5 from verse 51 to 57, and that's the solution. Because of that, they're neglecting that. That is the reason why the whole Middle East...
If I can speed you up, and the second point, John?
The second point is that it surprised me to know that the Holy Prophet has left an instruction in case of conflicts. No one is allowed to break mosques, churches, and temples. Look what the Muslims are doing towards each other, and they call themselves Muslims.
So what should they do now?
What they should do, they're not supposed to break no mosque. What's going on in Bahrain? Muslims breaking up Muslims' mosque. There's an instruction in the Holy Book telling them not to break mosques or temples or churches, killing old men, cut down trees, and kill children. There's an instruction to the Muslims. They know this. If they don't know this, they don't read in the books.
But in a sense, Western leaders have corrupted them. I mean, if you look at the House of Saud, I mean, King Saud himself was an alcoholic. His son, used to gamble, lost £1 million in Monte Carlo once, came out with two, they call them actresses, on his shoulder. This is a kind of behavior that no Western politician would be tolerated. So it's funny that the guardians of the holy shrines of Islam are allowed to do that. But anyway, thank you for that call. We're coming to a short break, I'm afraid, but keep those calls coming. Don't go away. Phil Reese here on Comment. Keep calling me. There's a lot to talk about. So take care. See you soon. Welcome back to Comment with me, Phil Rees, standing in for George Galloway. Today we've been talking about Libya. We've been talking about Bahrain. What about the French ban on the burqa? Anyone think about that? Also, did anyone in Britain see the Panorama program this week? What did they think about that, especially what it said about Press TV? Well, I think we've got our first caller coming in. Again, a British call. Jackie, how are you? Where are you calling from?
From Maidstone.
From Maidstone, okay,
yes.
On the coast.
Good evening. I want to say very quickly, I mean, like all the world watching, all the media, all these channels for weeks and weeks, night and day, I want to say how I feel so sick, nauseous about all these people who are being interviewed on channels, professor or something, professor of that, professor in the States, people expert on the Middle East and all that. They all do blah, 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 and nothing has been done. There was the meeting in Qatar, the meeting in Berlin. They all go there, spend the money every country in Europe is cutting because we are short of money. And then they spend the money going all over the world, having meetings, saying blah, blah, and nothing has been settled. I mean, the Doha is completely negative. Berlin, what they are saying is negative. At the same time, there's people dying every second in Libya.
Well, so now, Jackie, what would you like to see happen? Do you want the West to be more involved?
Yes, what I would like to say, I've been watching recently an interview by John Simpson, you know, the British reporter, interviewing Saeed, the son of Gaddafi.
Yes, Saeed.
And asking him, where could he go? Why doesn't he go to Zimbabwe? Why doesn't he go to somewhere in South America and all that? I mean, what stupidity. I mean, I have the respect for John Simpson, and I think he's absolutely daft. Now, if you would watch that interview, you could see that at the end of it all, this crisis, whatever crisis it is, small or big, you have to have sympathy and empathy. Now, all the world seems...
But Western reporters surely should report from both sides, shouldn't they?
Sorry?
Western reporters should report from both sides of the conflict.
Yeah, but everybody seems to hypocrite as they are. They all seem to say they got sympathy for the protesters in Libya. But also, you got to have empathy. Now...
Well, okay, but I mean, are you saying you want the West to be more involved? Is that what you're saying? That actually,
yes. Now, what we need to do is to talk to the enemy, so to speak, between Asterix, the enemy being Gaddafi. All the world wants him to come down. Okay, mm-hmm. The protesters want to get rid of him. Okay, so he knows himself and his sons and his family. He knows Gaddafi that he's got to step down.
Okay.
But what an enemy can do? What,
okay.
You can't let him go bombard him.
Jackie, thank you. I mean, I think we've got your point there, and many people think that the West should do more for humanitarian reasons. Though, of course, the implications of that for many of our other callers is that it's merely a colonial attempt to grab oil. We've got another call coming in, this time from London, and it's Marcia. And I think, Marcia, you may have been watching Panorama on Monday night.
Hello.
Good evening.
Mr. Rees. No, I haven't watched. I don't know what BBC is. Decades ago, I threw it in the rubbish bin, and I've never looked at it again. But I will tell you something about Press TV. I think you are the best. From you, I saw Bahrain, and I contacted a lawyer who is trying to help us with the human rights violation. He's one of your guests. He has been one of your guests. His name is Franklin Lamb. So, Bello, whatever you are doing, keep doing. I don't know what the beef is with BBC or whatever.
Well, they say that Press TV is involved in propaganda, purely giving the views of the Iranian government.
No, you are not involved in propaganda.
Do you think the BBC then is also involved in propaganda?
Always, always. since decades ago. I'm talking about 20, 30 years ago. And I've said BBC does that. Since then, I'm not bothered.
Well, it tends to reflect a British government view, especially when Britain's at war. Is that fair?
Absolutely. No, that's not fair, but that's what they do. Not only that, they don't give the other side any say. How many times are I contacted in the past, I mean, talking decades ago about Palestine, and they never, ever, ever gave me a chance. You have given me a chance. And I would like to thank Mr. Franklin Lamb, who is a lawyer, and I'd like to thank Mahatma Newsnet, okay. Alternative Newsnet, who have given me the chance to, give voice to my protest. They have they put online two articles from me regarding
Bahrain.
Well,
I think, Marcia, I think the point I would say, and thank you for this, is that certainly what Press TV has done is widened debate. It's allowed people who are not allowed to be on the mainstream media because their views are considered beyond the two areas that they define as the limits of debate. And I think that Press TV has contributed to widen that debate. So thank you for that call, Marcia. Now, I think next we've got Hashim in Canada. And in fact, this is through the webcam. Hashim, are you there?
Yes. Yeah, I am.
Okay, how are you doing, my friend?
Well, thank you. Thank you for accepting me. I'm really worried about Bahrain because the situation is severe, and I don't think that government should, we should depend on the government. Most of the time people say that US government is not doing enough or the other, but we, the Muslims, should stand up because what is happening is not for only Shia community. So people should know that this has already a witness. We witness in Somalia. Somalia is my country because these the Wahhabi Al-Shabaab group, when they started killing the military forces, first they said they are fighting the military, foreign military. Then they said they are fighting the government. Then they went throughout the country. And they started destroying the harams and the shrines of the historical people who contributed to the generation to spread Islam or to teach people. Now, this is what happened to Sunni people. I'm not talking because Somalia is 100% Sunni and they don't have any Shia movement. So what is happening is Bahrain is start for Sunni brothers. They have to open their eyes. This is not the end of the question. This is not the end of the war. This is the start of the war.
Oh,
because
of course.
This
well,
is
listen,
the start.
I mean, if I just interrupt you there, I mean, Hashim, of course, I mean, the chants throughout the demonstrations was, you know, it's not Shia, not Sunni, but Bahraini. But what do you think should be done? I mean, should the West interfere in Bahrain in a way that would actually bring genuine democracy? I mean, if it was possible to do that?
Well, I'm very much concerned about Khadim al-Haramain because Khadim al-Haramain should be neutral in everything because they should not even carry a weapon and arms because they are the in charge of two holy shrine of Muslim Ummah. They are the symbol of Muslim Ummah, and today they are killing, massacring innocent people in Bahrain, and they are helping. Even the women are not spared in Bahrain. It is shame.
Shame. Obviously, I mean, when people, I think people will be going to Umrah soon, and, you know, do you think those people should go and in a way, support the Saudi government? I mean, do you think that the Saudi royal family remains as the custodians of the holy shrines as they build themselves? I mean, do you think that should be something that the rest of the Muslim world should still respect?
No, the time has gone for the Saudi royal family. The time has gone because they did not prove as an Islamic Sharia rule as it should be. They did not prove as a khulafa used to rule the Sharia. They have brought a
system. In practice, they say that Sharia does exist in Saudi.
But Sharia, well, I can put a label to everything. I can put a label. Muammar Gaddafi had a label on his book, like Mao Zedong has as his own book on a public awareness. Now he has a democratic book, Green Book of Libya.
Popular democracy.
So Sharia, which kind of Sharia? We want to see the way Khulafa used to rule. That is why we are not asking
but
for
But I mean, are you alone in saying these things, or do you think there's a groundswell of opinion now amongst Sunni Muslims that the Saudi royal family does not represent them at all and certainly should not be the custodians of the holy shrines?
Of course, they should not be the custodian because they have proved that they are not capable and they are not even deserve to be the representative. Now the custodian should go to Islamic Union, Organization of Islamic Union as a whole, not as an individual government.
That's a very,
or
very good point. That's a very interesting point. Thank you very much for that. I think there's some very, very important points you've made. And I hope you can come and join us again on the show. Thank you very much for that. Hashim there from Canada. And I want to just say something briefly. I was in Kuwait City when we liberated it, and I'm thinking now of the Gulf states and you know, the royal families that that govern there. And we were the first in as journalists, and we thought we were liberating Kuwait from the Iraqi occupation. This was in 1991. And I found a bunch of Filipino women huddling in a hotel, and they told me, please, don't let our masters, that is the Kuwaiti royal family, take us back, because they had been raped, they had been abused, and I felt really bad. I thought we were liberating them, but from the treatment they'd had, it made me feel really ashamed at that time. Anyway, we have another caller, and that is Ali from Surrey, and you want to talk about, I think, Al Jazeera.
Hi, good evening, Phil. Al Jazeera was supposed to be the leader of letting the Islamic world in the past few years, from Palestinian cause. And
well, it's done a lot of good things on the Palestinian cause, hasn't it?
Yes, but the point is, why have they keeping quiet about Syria, Yemen, and Bahrain? You know, that is disgusting. I used to watch Al Jazeera 50-50 with Press TV. Now I'm watching 100% Press TV.
I mean, it's certainly true. Al Jazeera played a major role in the Tunisian and Egyptian uprisings and, in fact, contributed to those. What do you think's changed?
I do not know. I really do not know. I don't know if it is the pressure on Al Jazeera from the West, because I used to read The Guardian up to about a week ago. The Guardian newspaper, which I thought that is reporting as it sees the news, right? I even stopped buying The Guardian. I stopped buying papers. I do not know what is going on in the world. You know, we pay the BBC X amount of pounds every year to give us the news, what is happening in the world.
Well, but, I mean, you know, just sticking on Al Jazeera for a moment, I mean, do you think that, because obviously it's ruled by a royal family, do you think that democracy in Bahrain might just be a little bit too close for comfort?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay,
it is absolutely 100% that they do try to save themselves, because if they try to highlight, especially Bahrain, they could be next. So could be Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is already on the list of the people that they do not agree with their rule, you know, and they do not represent the Islamic world. How could they represent the Islamic world when they go and destroy two mosques today? In our the Holy Quran, it says that you do not destroy any holy places. May it be a church, may it be a prayer place, may it be a mosque.
Ali, listen, thank you for that contribution, a very interesting one, comparing Press TV to Al Jazeera. We have many calls, please, we've got a lot to talk through tonight, and not a lot of time left. But Kirk is now on the line from Scotland. Hello, Kirk.
Hello, Phil. I'd like to say this, if I may. I wish the people of these Arabic nations seeking freedom, liberty and democracy. However, I wish to add that they'll be severely disappointed when they realise what a farce it is. For as the chief prosecutor in England says, Keir Starmer QC, we like to think that we have freedom of expression in this country, but it simply isn't true. I can't tell you myself how many times I've been arrested. It's been dozens of times, and I don't want to go off at a tangent and detract from what you're debating tonight. For animal rights, notably anti-vivisection issues, of which I refer to the BBC as the bloody broadcasting conspiracy, the government's own mouthpiece and propaganda unit, because, as Voltaire said, it's a dangerous thing to be right when your government is wrong.
So why do you think the BBC is broadcasting propaganda? I mean, it's got strict guidelines on impartiality.
That's a nonsense. They only say what the government all but licenses them to do. It's a publicly owned body, and they toe the line of the politicians whom are beholden to those whom grease their palms, line their pockets, and fill their party political coffers. As earlier commentators have noted, so blood is thicker than water, but oil is thicker.
What should people do in Britain? Well, I mean, what should they do? Just watch Press TV instead, or do something else?
Well, I've started recently watching Press TV, NHK Japan, Russia Today, France Bankat.
But you still need, of course, all of these channels. You still need to pay a license fee.
A broader view of what's going on. And I've slowly cut, and this was only on the advice of a Greek friend who's since left Britain, disillusioned, and gone to Czechoslovakia, because he too is very disillusioned after having lived here for 11 years. And I have to admit, back to 20 years ago at the Gulf War, I nearly got lynched the first time I'd ever been invited to a television studio when I commented that it was all about oil then. And regrettably, time has proved me right, that it was about oil and nothing to do with human liberty, freedom, freedom of expression, so on and so forth.
Kirk, thank you. I mean, we do want to get through some more calls, but, you know, as someone who worked for the BBC for many years, I think that it certainly is true, and I'd certainly recommend anyone to read a book called The Manufacturing of Consensus by Noam Chomsky and Edward Herman, which I think sums up better than any how one view can come out of one organisation, despite the fact that, obviously, there's a lot of journalistic freedom within that, but it tends to end up with one general perspective on many important stories. I think we've got another call coming in now. Sujat from London, what do you have to say, my friend?
Yes, hello there, Phil. How are you? How's George? When will he be back?
I'm fine, thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I didn't see the program on Panorama on Monday, but I have no doubt that what you're saying is true, and I think they're all jealous of Press TV's rising popularity. I think it's the most erect and most evaluative channel in the world today, news channel, which portrays the true plight of the oppressed and the voiceless. You see, the Muslims who are being oppressed by the Western powers, the European and American altogether.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I think this BBC, CNN, Fox News, you know, this Sky News,
I think the good thing,
are
Sujat,
all Western propaganda channels, like Dr. Goebbels used to do in Nazi Germany.
Well,
black and grey propaganda channels, that's what they are, they're rubbish channels.
I think the point is, Press TV and others have brought new voices into the debate. Whatever one thinks, and some people may agree with the BBC. But thank you for that. We've got to move on. Mohammed from London, what have you got to say, sir?
Hello, Phil. Good evening. I want to make a comment about the Panorama program, just like your previous caller, which was presented on Monday by Jane Corbyn. If I was not sure that the West is incapable to attack Iran, I would have thought that the program was ordered by British government to make public opinion ready for an imminent attack on Iran. It was really a piece of propaganda, a masterpiece of partiality, I think. And I don't know how BBC could actually present such a program. I cannot understand why there is such an insistence by the BBC to mislead British public regarding Iran. As an Iranian residing in Britain, I was really appalled by the program. It was based on stories which, according to the presenter, which apparently had an instinctive hatred towards Iran, could not be verified. Yeah. That was really, really funny, making all those dramatic stories and then saying that these stories could not be verified.
No, no, exactly. They did mention that at the end, but the program had already gone on for half an hour. Thank you for that, Mohammed. We have one more. We have Amy, I think, from London. What have you got to say? Amy, good evening. It's Phil Reese here.
Hi, yeah, I'm here. Oh, sorry. Hi, Phil. I was just calling because I basically wanted to say that I watched the program and it wasn't really surprising how they portrayed Press TV. Even though I watched Press TV and I actually enjoyed the programs like Agenda and stuff, but I would have commended Press TV even more if it took more of a stand when it comes to the Syrian protests and the Iranian protests, if it took the same stand as it did with the rest of the protests, because they deserve democracy as much as the Egyptians and the Tunisians do. So that was my only point for that. But apart from that, I mean, I had less respect for
You know, it's certainly true. I think that what we've got now is a media environment with different viewpoints. But why do you think that the BBC did not concentrate and hasn't concentrated on Bahrain and felt the need to do a program about Iran 2 years ago?
It's like you say, everyone's got a viewpoint. I mean, it wouldn't have been embarrassing that the Queen had just a couple of months early invited the King to the royal wedding. You know, then they obviously tried to ignore Bahrain, just like Al Jazeera did for a while. Well, it still is, actually. But
why then? Why do you think? Is it colonial history? Is it simply...
Colonial history.
Economic interest?
Economic interest. And also it's embarrassing to the country. I mean, he had just got invited to the royal wedding and we were all best friends with him. So it would have been completely embarrassing.
It would have been embarrassing if he'd come, wouldn't he? Listen, Amy, thank you very much. Thank you for calling us. I think we've got time. Very quick. Zara from London. Very quickly, what's your comment?
Oh, hello. Yes, thank you very much for allowing me to speak.
You got about 10 seconds,
okay.
Zara.
Okay, well, basically, please. I think the BBC's Panorama programme was very biased, and it was completely Iran-bashing from some events which could not be verified by any facts.
Okay.
And it's basically just trying to get people be anti-Iran.
Well, I'm afraid, look, we've just come to an end. Zara, I've got to stop you there. I apologize for that, but we've come to the end of the show. Thank you for joining us. Join us next week on Common when Lauren Booth will be your host. So stay tuned for the news now, but thank you for joining us. Goodbye.
Hello, just comment on your name and the place you left that number. And just make sure that your television volume is set up to 0. So
zero. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You redirect me through the phone number and then we'll be back.